This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Smith, and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network. Well, today I'm speaking with the founder and CEO of eWomen Network, Sandra Yancey. But before we begin, I want to ask you, my listeners, a question. If there was one word to describe your intention for your life right now, professional and personal, what would it be? Think about it for a moment. You might not know right this minute, but at least allow your mind to open up to all the possibilities. Well, Sandra Yancey is with us today to share her wisdom around that word, whatever it might be for you, and the power it holds for your success. Sandra, thank you so much for being here. I'm so honored to work with you and to have you on my show.
You know, interestingly enough, I was going to say the exact same thing, Phyllis. Honestly, I think what's really cool is just how symbiotic we are in, you know, kind of our orientation to life, our values, what we want to have happen as women, as well as professional women, right? And how symbiotic we are just in how we kind of click and work together. So it's just as much an honor for me to be here.
Oh, I got chills. So every year you go on tour to our eWomen Network chapters, and you always have a theme around your talk. And this year, it's about cultivating a powerful word that sets up a path for achieving your success. And you, every year for your own personal life, you have a word.
Yes.
So this year, your word is dare. So tell us about that and why you chose that word.
Well, you know, I always start really thinking about it fourth quarter. Like, what is the word that I think will help me move to that next season of my life? How is it that I'm going to make sure that my life isn't just all about rinse and repeat, doing the same thing over and over again? And, you know, my real intention, Phyllis, and you could probably, you know, speak to this as well as someone who observes me since we work so closely together, and that is that I'm hoping on every December 31st I can see how I've shifted and changed, and that I am fundamentally different, particularly as a businesswoman on December 31st, than I was the previous January 1st. And what I know is you can't wait to the last minute and expect really great things to happen. I mean, you know, PLANS is an acronym in and of itself for me, called Purposeful Living Absolutely Never Stops. And, you know, I am a planner. I am a systematic thinker. Mm-hmm. I do like, you know, processes and systems. I don't think you can really scale a business outside of yourself unless you begin to acquire those skills. And everybody can learn them, you know. And people, I think, initially don't like them. But then when they see what kind of results they actually provide, I've actually witnessed people fall in love with them, you know. They take a little bit more work and thinking up front, but the back end is the fastest path to cash that I know as a business owner. So, you know, I'm just always thinking about what's my next word. And I really started thinking about what I wanted 2016 to be for me. 2015 was a huge year in terms of making investments in the business, right? Doing a huge over $1 million renovation on our floor, adding a big studio with all of the equipment, and then adding staff, as you well know, two additional full-time editors on the corporate staff, et cetera. You moving into content management for the entire firm, you know, all of that kind of thing. And it's easier to have I find, to be totally honest with you, that it's easy to have the big, audacious goal, but then not really think about how is it that you're going to really bring all that stuff to life. I mean, now that it's here, how do we really build something around that that makes it not just obvious to you and I that walk in the office every day, but to the world to see how we're impacting with our purpose and our message and our vision. So for me, I knew that 2016 was going to have to be a year in which I really stepped into my dareness, if you will. You know, that I was going to have to dare to do things way out of my comfort zone, way out of the, you know, what has gotten me to where I am today. I know that not all the things that have got me to where I am today are necessarily the things that are going to get me to that next stage. So beginning to think about what's different and daring myself to step into them.
Mm, how's it going so far?
It feels really great. Mm-hmm. It feels great. It's got me, there's a lot of, I'm not sure what the right technical word is, but for me it's got a lot of electricity kind of rooting through my system. Sometimes I feel like I'm twitching, like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And other times I just feel like the, this feels just like, like I'm humming, you know, and it's, things are falling into place. And so it's holding both of them in as duality, right? Mm-hmm. Two feelings, that anxiousness, a positive anxiousness, and a sense of satisfaction of some of the new things that we're creating, have been very empowering for me, and it's allowed me to be that much more daring.
Mm, interesting. When you take that first step, and then you want to go more.
Yeah.
It kind of becomes like an addiction.
Yeah.
In a way, but in a good way. It's like when you go out on stage, the feeling you're describing, it's like somebody who goes out on stage. No matter how many times you're on stage, you still get a little butterflies.
Totally.
It's not bad. It's a good thing.
Yes.
And you need that to kind of propel you.
I've learned to honor those little butterflies as opposed to say, okay, shake it off. Don't, you know what I mean? You know, get your head in the space. I've learned to honor them as kind of the reminder that no matter what my agenda is when I go out on that stage, the most important thing for me is to pay attention to the audience, and to, which is the obvious, right? Mm-hmm. And to make sure that I'm moving in a syncopation, in a rhythm that is also working for them, you know?
One thing I think it's so interesting when you talk about your word, and everybody's got a word, you know, which you just have to decide what that is that you really say it's very strategic. There's four components.
Yes.
In terms of marching towards that, the path of that word and accomplishing,
embracing
and exemplifying that word. The first one you say is around mindset.
Yeah.
Explain that.
You know, Phyllis, I do a lot of interviews, and it's interesting to me as I start to really kind of notice the patterns of the interviews. What are the kinds of questions that I'm asked a lot? And one of the big ones that comes up all the time is, Sandra, what is your biggest obstacle today? I mean, the business is 16 years old, started it in a spare bedroom above my garage. You know, today we're a multi-million-dollar global enterprise, the largest tenant in our tower, right? And so what's new and different? And you know what, Phyllis? The thing that I'm really struck by as I contemplate the truth of that question, my biggest obstacle today is the biggest obstacle that I had when I started. It's the same obstacle, and it's me. I'm my biggest obstacle. What I know as a CEO is that, you know, it's easy for us to start a business based on something, either what we love or what we didn't love. Like, I hated networking, which is why I started a networking company. You know what I mean? I wasn't good at it. I'm an introvert by nature, and so I'm not necessarily comfortable in big crowds, contrary to what people think. I mean, I married a man on a stage. You know, I've always been the behind-the-scenes kind of girl. The company has morphed and required me to move into this new role, and I've learned to appreciate it more than love it. And that drives me, just the appreciation of what it does for others, you know, how it serves other people. You know, I think the biggest thing I have to work on is my own mindset, number one. And, you know, it has to shift. You can't steal second base and keep your foot on first. You know, if you want to grow into a bigger company, you have to let go of what is today, you know. And I think it's not so intuitive for us. I think it's counterintuitive to think that we've got to let go of the very thing that got us on base and didn't strike out. Okay, so I've now developed, what are the skills that got me to first base? But you know what? If you've ever played, and I did play as a young girl with two older brothers, baseball. And what I can tell you is it's a different strategy when you're at bat versus moving around the baseline. And certainly hitting the home run, or, you know, running a home run, or you know, sliding into the home plate. So it is a constantly for me about shifting kind of what's going on.
Well, that's interesting, and that's a great metaphor, because in baseball, not everybody hits the home run.
Right.
Somebody got to get, you know, they might, okay, our strategy, we get on first, we get on second, on third. It could be a bunt. It could be a, you know.
You know what I love about what you're saying? Mm-hmm. And this is, it's interesting to me as two women, we're talking about a sport.
Yeah.
In a sport. But it is so powerful. You know what I mean? I will tell you that to your point, it's really important that we not allow ourselves to get caught up in always comparing ourselves to other people. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes can be the danger right now with social media and with access to the internet. It's really easy for us to compare ourselves to other people that are in our space. But the truth of the matter is, while there are other people in your space, no one's in your place, right? There's no one that is exactly like you. And I think it can get really, I've watched it happen, even with my own coaching clients, how they'll say, well, so-and-so does it this way, and this way. That may not be the right formula mm-hmm. for you. And, you know, just like the music industry, everybody's waiting for its next love song, right? They all say basically the same thing, don't they? I hope I die 60 seconds before you because I don't want to live a minute without
right.
you kind of thing,
right.
right? But we're open to a new rhythm and a new melody. Mm-hmm. And so your competition, ironically, it really isn't it over there or the other person. Your competition is really yourself.
Yes.
You know, how are you going to use what you see over there, not as a way to copy them, but as a way to find your point of differentiation?
What would you recommend? One thing that people can get their mindset set their mindset today mm-hmm. that they can start moving in that direction?
I think the big thing is go ahead and set really huge goals, because when you set huge goals, not safe goals, not comfortable goals, maybe not even what at first blush seems, I can do that, that's not big enough. If that's your first reaction, that's big, but I can do it. I think the best way to really get ahead of the mass is to say, that's big, and oh, man, I got to do some work to figure out how to do that. You know, that really pushes you beyond, in my opinion, because I find that when you set really huge goals, they work in two ways. You work on them, and they work on you, right? So, you know, it's that whole thing of, you know, breaking, I think, the habit of, you know, when we were in corporate America, we were always setting goals that we can achieve. When you're an entrepreneur, I think you have to really go beyond that if you want to play, you know, in the big space, so to speak. And the nice thing about going for really huge goals is, can I just tell you, that's really your competitive edge, because most people don't do that. Mm-hmm. And so it's really crowded in the safe goals. I mean, it's so less crowded in the big goals. There's so much more room,
right? And to remember, sometimes you have to get on first.
Yeah.
Before you can get to home run.
Right.
It doesn't mean that the goal, that's just the goal.
Right.
Then you wrap your mind around, what do I need to get there?
Yeah.
I love that.
And let me just say, and to be careful about how quickly you and I say, gosh, that person hits a home run every time they're up to bat, you know, because that's not necessarily the way it really always is. And so don't compare your beginning to somebody else's middle, and don't always believe everything that you read on social media. I mean, you know, people that are really big in social media say, what goes on the outside to the world isn't necessarily a true reflection of what's going on the inside.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, moving on to the second of your four things that people need to consider around their word to help them achieve that. That word is tribe.
Yeah, I think if you really want to be daring, you have to be honest enough to assess the tribe that you're hanging out with on a regular basis. And I have learned, and this has been a hard lesson for me, and a painful lesson, can I just tell you? And that's coming to the realization that not everybody is supposed to be with you forever. And that there very well could be people that are in your life right now that, you know, maybe it's run its course. You know, I mean, I can tell you this, you can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. You can't do that. So you have to know when, and there will be people that will stay with you forever. That's the cool thing. But don't get your feelings hurt if they don't. And I think sometimes as women, I think this is a women's issue more so than a men's issue, and that is I think sometimes we can just hang on relationships way too long. I mean, dragging people against their will. Because the truth of the matter is there just might be some people in your life right now that aren't comfortable with the woman and the CEO that you know you need to be.
Mm-hmm. Finish this sentence, Stem.
Yes.
If you're the smartest person in the room,
you need a new group.
Yeah.
I mean, without a question. If you're the one, you know, making all the conversation, giving all the advice, answering all the questions, you know, then you need a new group. I mean, honestly, the one thing that I love about having staff meetings, Phyllis, here at the corporate office, is that when I get there and other people are coming, or if we have a few minutes before we start and there's other people there, I think the staff would be surprised to know how often I go, yeah, I got the right person. She's smarter than me when it comes to, like you, content management, you know, or yeah, she's smarter than me when it comes to digital platforms, or yeah, you know, he's smarter than me when it comes to technology. That's when you know. But I like to, what I've learned is that being a CEO is less about having the answers and more about having really great questions. You know, just saying, how do we do this? Or how is this handled? Or how can we make it better? And I think as CEOs, particularly as small businesses, it's very easy for us to say, here's what needs to be done. Here's how I want it done. Here's what. And the truth of the matter is, it's QT, you know, quality, quantity, and time. Mm-hmm. What is the quality standard? You know, how much of this needs to be done, and when is a time bound? When are your expectations? And get out of the way of telling people who are smarter than you how to do it. Because the truth of the matter is, if you're saying to yourself, you know, if you want it done right, do it yourself, you got the wrong group.
Yeah, and you got to get in, and you got to, if you do that, you're going to be stuck. It's because you will never move forward at all and grow, because you can't do it all.
Well, worse than being stuck, you're digging yourself in a hole. You're getting buried in the minutiae, and you can't think strategically enough. I mean, if it's one thing I tell all of my coaching clients, the very first conversation I have with them, okay, I mean, within the first 5 minutes of our very first conversation, I want everybody to write this down. And you're going to have to take a picture of it, and you're going to have to put it in our private Facebook page. And that is, your ultimate goal as a CEO is to do only the things that only you can do. Do only the things that only you can do. That is, and it's a journey. I haven't even mastered it yet, you know, and I got to catch myself. Sometimes I do things that other people can do, and that's because I have such a need for, like, getting something done. Mm-hmm. So, such a long cycle to a lot of the things that I work on. But just because you understand yourself doesn't give you an excuse to behave that way. I got to go, I got to snap and say, wait a minute here. That's not the highest order for this company. Mm-hmm. People are counting me to behave better than that, right? I've got to shift what I'm doing. And so, I think evaluating your tribe and understanding that no one makes it alone. And can I just say this, you know, truly, honestly, here's the secret sauce. It's so easy to be great when you hang around great people. Mm-hmm. Because by osmosis, you just learn. I mean, just by watching, I mean, staying silent, button up, and, you know, I would say button up, buttercup, you know, and just listening to how they ask questions, how they make decisions, you know, what they value, just helps me go, oh, I got to remember, that's a really great question. I got to use that question. Or I see how they asked, you know, good questions, and then they made a decision, yes or no. And no is a complete sentence. You don't have to justify your no, just like you don't have to justify your yes. Right. And keep, you know, keep moving forward. I just believe that, you know, when you soar with eagles, you don't have to necessarily know how to do it. They'll actually teach you how to fly in formation. But you first, this goes back to mindset, and this is how they're dependent on each other. First, you've got to believe and give yourself permission to hang out with the eagles.
You got to feel you're worth it.
You got to feel like you're worth just to show up and be in their space.
What I love about you is many things, but one of the things is you're always learning. You're learning. You never think you're done, and it's even self-development-wise, you're always getting, being your best self, looking to be your best self.
Right.
That's what I love about you, that you are always learning and open to learning and growing and self-development, and you can't be a success unless, you know, if you think you got it all down. You know, forget it. You'll never move on. You'll never move forward. You'll never hang around with the right tribe. And you can never really be a full success if you don't. So we got to move on to a short break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the final two areas in our business that we need to look at in order to exemplify our chosen word.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. When my wife Sharon had her ovaries removed to prevent cancer, she was immediately thrown into early menopause. She needed estrogen to relieve her symptoms, but her doctors weren't sure if it was safe or if it would cause breast cancer. I had to know the truth. After years of research, I discovered there was an estrogen window, a window of opportunity to take estrogen that lowers disease risk and increases estrogen's effectiveness on symptoms. I realized there are millions of other women who are also confused and fearful of taking estrogen. That's why I wrote The Estrogen Window, which just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm speaking with the chief cook and bottle washer of eWomen Network, Sandra Yancey. And we're talking about choosing a word that sets up a path to success in your business and your life. Sandra chooses a new word every year. This year, it's dare. And we've just been talking about the importance of mindset and your tribe and being able to exemplify that word that you choose for yourself. So the next one is, you say, around originality.
Yeah, I think we touched on it a little bit before the break, but it merits more conversation. I think it's really important to stay original, to identify your lane and to stay in your lane. And that gets back to how easy it is for us to compare ourselves to the person that's next to us. You know, your competition isn't over there. Your competition is you, right? Mm-hmm. It's in here, in you. And I think it's important to dare to be different. I don't know of anybody in recent years that exemplifies that more than Steve Jobs. And let us not forget that he is and was an entrepreneur first and foremost. And what I want to exemplify here in this example is just to pay attention that he actually didn't invent really anything terribly new, right? He looked at what was already going on and then said, how can I be different and better?
Mm-hmm.
So that's when people say to me, the space is crowded, somebody's already got major market share. I promise you, there is someone somewhere looking for that something that only you can offer in your way. And, you know, you think of Steve Jobs. Do you remember, Phyllis, when iPods first came out, there were all these billboards. Did you get them at first? They were white billboards with people dancing.
I did not get them.
All in a solid color.
What are they doing?
Blue, red, yellow, you know, with this cord and something. And I didn't know what they were, and I didn't ask until Christmas time came around. My son was going to be in the sixth grade, and he put on his Christmas list that he wanted an iPod. I'm like, what's an iPod? And suddenly, I found out we went from $7.99 action figures to a $200, you know, iPod. I'm like, what just happened to this, you know, perspective of Christmas? And I thought, what is this iPod? And the truth of the matter is the iPod concept wasn't that new. I mean, most of us, many of us on this call, I believe can remember, like me, having a Walkman.
Yeah.
All Steve Jobs did was look at something that already existed and said, how can I be different? How can I revolutionize and reintroduce a new way and make people fall in love with it?
Mm-hmm.
And then he did it again with the iPhones. I mean, after the iPod had this huge success, he went to iPhones. You know, Steve Jobs, Apple didn't invent phones. You and I all had, remember flip phones?
Yeah.
They were the coolest things. He took what phones were, and he said, you know what? These are pretty dumb. They don't do anything. Let me make them smart.
Yeah.
Right? Literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he totally reinvented something. He stayed in his lane, didn't copy, and just said, how can I take something that already has market share? And I think that's really important for eWomen Network. Mark Cuban even said this when I interviewed him. I mean, you know, it's so much easier to take something that people already love and appreciate and then make it different and better. And everybody then turns their head suddenly and goes, what's that over there? Right? And then they move into that sparkle, that light. Right? And I think that's what kind of setting yourself on fire is all about. And then and finally, let me just say, he did it again with iPads, each time kind of doubling the price.
if not more, right? And I remember when I bought my first iPad, it was about $1,000. My first iPhone was about $500. And so, and I just kind of watched the whole thing. I mean, he just looked at computers. You don't want to know why I bought an iPad? It's because Steve Jobs was the first one by which to make something so easy that for me as a traveler, I didn't have to take out of my bag when I went through TSA. It's actually not considered a computer. So I never have to take it out of my bag, but it totally functions. I mean, I can even do text messaging on a plane that I can't do with my iPhone on my iPad, you know, let alone emails and that kind of thing. So it's just, he has been such an inspiration for me to say, okay, there's other people that do what I do. There's other people that have studios and do video, but nobody does it like me. Nobody does it like eWomen Network. I mean, we've got the whole team right here. You're not just renting a studio with an engineer that doesn't care. It's all around your brand. It's all around your messaging, your coloring, your logo, your website. It fits in. It's very strategically placed. What are your vignettes? We then roll it into a very strategic Facebook campaign, which releases your tweets. It's an integrated content management, you know, business, and that's why our clients have such phenomenal results. It really is celebrity branding at its highest order. And I'm really proud to say that it is, there's lots of other studios and there's lots of other people that do videos, but no one does it integrated, holistic, like we do.
One of our clients, I remember, said that you're not just a production company. Anybody can produce a video.
Right.
Anybody can. She said, it's about the people.
Right.
And it's about what we do with those people and the comfort, how they get comfortable, you know, and writing, you know, from coaching them to, you know, on their scripts to coaching them in the studio. We've had people here that said, you know, yeah, I just got a video done, but nobody helped me with anything.
I got to walk
in. You know,
in
I looked at the videos afterwards and nobody said, I'm not doing it good. You
right,
know?
Or I'm not doing it right, or it's not compelling, or there's no real call to action, or there's not clarity in your message, and just all of those things, right? It's a very powerful point of differentiation. The reason why we put it in is Steve Jobs is in the back of my mind. I just study the best of the best of the best and say, what are the themes of what they do, and how can I replicate it, not adopt it, but adapt it, changing the O and adopt to an A, and adapt it in my line of work, in my business.
Right. So it being original. I mean, there aren't other networking organizations out there.
Totally.
But we provide something completely different.
Yeah.
You know, a proprietary way at accelerated networking, an A&E.
That we've trademarked, words that we've registered. Yep. Then we've expanded and said, once you make connections, how do you really know how to scale that business? And so we turned it in from just a networking organization to now a complete success system for entrepreneurs, no matter whether they're in startup mode, launch mode, or they're in what I call growth mode. Now they've got a critical bevy of clients, and now they're really exhausted because they're trying to do everything. How do you get out of that, change that mindset and core set of skills to now leverage? Okay, so now I've got this huge, you know, kind of client and business, 6-7-figure business. How do I leverage that and offer related ancillary things that scale the offerings and still meet the needs and the pain points of my current client base? And so staying original, I think, is absolutely essential in a world where it's easy for us to really get caught up into playing copycat.
Yeah, and you do networking very differently. I mean, your conference in the summer, our conference is just transformational. I'm working it.
Right.
As an employee, as a staff member, but I am moved by everything because of the basic tenets that you live by.
Right.
And that is give first, share always,
right,
and lift as you climb. So when you go to other networking conferences or events, whatever you might go to, it's usually about here's my card.
Right.
I want you to be my client.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah.
But you, it's more about what can I do to help you? And if everybody is helping each other, then you
the reciprocity is there, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just that's the interesting thing. It's a it's a difference between kind of sometimes taking the toll road, if you will, or the highway or the side road, the access roads, right? Mm-hmm. They get you to the same destination. You have to decide which path you enjoy the most.
Right. Number four. Yeah. So we have mindset, we have tribe, we have originality. Those
yes.
are three things. Mm-hmm. The final thing that you need to do and think about in being able to exemplify this word that you chose for yourself is get going.
Get going. You know, it's interesting. I read a quote one time that said, have you ever heard of it, Phyllis? It says something to the effect of, the secret to success is to get started. Have you ever heard that? Well, that's crap. Not. I know so many people stuck in startup mode. I mean, that's a place to get stuck. The secret to success is to hit the launch button, and it's just to really get going and to stop thinking about it and to start being about it, right? And I think that as women in particular, women entrepreneurs, I think we need to understand that, you know, there's a behavior shift between how we manage maybe our home and how we manage our business. They are not the same environments, and they require different sets of behavior. Kind of like, you know, how we behave maybe on, even on an interview, might be different than how we behave if we're having, you know, a spirit or a libation on a Friday or Saturday night, or with your girlfriends, or even with your family. How I behaved at times with my kids were different than maybe some of the adult conversations that I had with my friends when we went out for date night or something like that. So different environments require different sets of behaviors, and that's really important, I think, for women to understand. You can't treat your business like your Thanksgiving dinner. You know, Thanksgiving dinner, we want everything to be just perfect, right? Business isn't about perfection. Business is about excellence. And it's a very, very important distinction. Mm-hmm. You're going to make mistakes.
Tweetable.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I just think that you're going to make mistakes. One of my favorite, interestingly enough, we're talking about Steve Jobs' quotes is that on the way to innovating, you're going to make mistakes. Fix the mistakes and get onto the business of innovating. And so for me, it's about understanding that the mistakes are very easily interpreted as failures. Somehow our culture has defined failure as the opposite of success. If something wasn't a success, it was a failure. That's also crap. I believe that failure is actually a part of success. It's not the opposite of success. It's a part of it. You know, you're going to make mistakes along the way. And that's how you know that you're trying something new, that you're testing. You own them. You fix them. You make sure that they don't happen again. That's part of one of my core processes, plan, do, review. Mm-hmm. Plan something, do it, execute it, and then review so that you can say what didn't work well, what are the little things that we can make better, you know, what are the things that maybe nobody else saw, but boy, it created so much heartache behind the scenes. How do we fix that so that never happens again? You know, what were the blemishes that people actually saw that we never want them to see again? And so you fix the mistakes and you just keep getting better and better and better. If you wait, my belief is if you wait until everything is perfect, chances are you've waited too long. That's how you become kind of what I call a me too or an also ran, because other people will kind of beat you to the punch.
Again, business isn't about perfection. It's about excellence.
That's right.
Tweet us. I love that. Okay, listen, we've run out of time, but some closing thoughts.
Well, I really think that ultimately what I believe to be true is that success belongs to those who dare to achieve it. And so what my question is, what are you daring? What are you daring to make sure that you turn your breakdowns into breakthroughs or your break-evens to breaking records? How are you stepping into that in a daring, bold way? Because I believe we must dare to be daring. We got to dare to let other people roll their eyes at us. I mean, that's the entrepreneurial world that masses of people are going, really? Right? And when you know that people are rolling your eyes, now you know you're onto something really juicy. You got to dare to give yourself goosebumps to say, oh my gosh, that is the coolest idea I just came up with. You know, when I got goosebumps, I got to jump on that. And finally, I think you've got to dare to exhaust yourself of your potential. I think we have so much hidden potential that we just don't tap into, we don't honor, and we don't exude. And to be daring means that you're willing to exhaust yourself of your potential. And that takes some guts, but when you have the right tribe with the right mindset and you honor your originality and you hit the launch button and get going, you'll see that you gain confidence in going more. Most people wait to get confidence to do something. I say do something, and you will get the confidence.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being here, Sandra Yancey. And I promise you, you'll be back on a regular basis. Great. I got access to you all the time. If you would like to learn more about eWomen Network and all that it offers, including a transformational conference, which I was talking about earlier, that's coming up this summer in August, as well as joining one of our 118 chapters throughout North America, or learning about different ways to work with Sandra, just visit our website at eWomenNetwork.com. Until next time, dare to be the best version.
Time's up for now. If you want more enlightening conversations that could change your life, visit EWNRadioNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.